Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dude!
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
And when you're listening to this, it is the day before Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble.
To those who, Shout out to Donald Driver.
Donald Driver.
Former Green Bay Packers, great.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you all for listening. Happy Thanksgiving for those of you who observe.
Yep.
So before we get, as you saw, we are talking I don't know if I want to say underrated. I think it's rated.
It's
fine where it's
at.
It's a cute movie. It's a charming movie. There's a lot that's problematic about this movie.
Sure.
However, it is still a Thanksgiving movie nonetheless. Mm-hmm. There's not many of those.
No.
So of course we would like to give it recognition. Son-in-Law with Paulie Shore.
Fun movie. I really like this movie.
I think it's the last. I hesitate to say good, but good's objective.
Live action.
It's the last like respectable, I guess, Paulie Shore movie, whatever those just words mean.
All the air quotes you can. It's just given the context of one Paulie Shore, especially at this point in the 90s. Yeah.
So whatever that means to you, putting those words together. but we'll get into it.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. Before we do, last week, or I guess when this is coming out, mm-hmm. maybe like 10 days ago, a little under 2 weeks ago, we recorded our Pokemon Part 2 episode with our good friend Josh Turbo.
Yep.
We had a blast.
Real fun. Great episode.
It's, as it stands right now, at least the time we're recording this, it's our most downloaded first day episode since being back, which is
really cool.
Which is cool. That's awesome. We're glad to have, experienced that. And it's, hopefully at the time we're recording this, also in the time you're listening, it's only growing.
It's only growing. But we're like a Thanksgiving Day parade balloon.
Exactly. Or the amount of time between them and Broadway performances are going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we started in on talking about the subject matter, we quickly honored one Kevin Conroy,
mm-hmm.
For many out there who aren't listening, a voice of their childhood, not just of Batman.
Right.
I mean, he was the voice of Batman for 30 years on almost every Batman project that ever came out.
Yeah.
But the voice of a childhood, and when Kevin Conroy passed away, and the day we were recording was when he passed away, or when we found out about it, just kind of a pillar of childhood was
Agreed.
Gone and just became a memory
mm-hmm.
after that. Well, unfortunately, the day that we're recording this, we found out a few hours ago that Jason David Frank passed away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Power Rangers was huge mm-hmm. to us.
Yeah.
And it was just really early. Like it was our first kind of exposure to like superheroes
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And through the years, no matter what you think of the quality of the shows, I mean, they are what they
mm-hmm.
are. That's a refrain for a lot of people our age and even older, Power Rangers was massive.
Oh yeah.
And Jason David Frank, he played the Green Ranger
mm-hmm.
and then he played, the White Ranger. And then in all the ensuing Power Rangers shows, he was on Zeo, Turbo. When he got older, he became like the ultimate Power Ranger.
He was
just like the biggest flag bearer
mm-hmm.
for the franchise,
kind of the ambassador.
It
seems like every project he did, he was a regular at cons,
mm-hmm.
great with
yeah.
fans, just really just beloved. He was also like a martial artist and
yeah.
an MMA fighter or a, just like an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
And, it just, it was sad because he was somebody who embraced what he meant to people
mm-hmm.
and really, really rode that wave and just really was never shy to show how much he appreciated right. fans. And that it's just, it's crazy that in as many days, mm-hmm. like Batman, the animated series, along with like Batman Forever and then just Batman in general
mm-hmm.
and Power Rangers were, I mean, I would say the first two recognitions of
mm-hmm.
superheroes for us
yeah.
that started everything, the catalyst for everything.
Oh, yeah. It captured just the way Power Rangers kind of captured your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like the way that you, as a kid, like embody those characters
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you just, they... The characters were teenagers and you looked up to them as like cool older kids
mm-hmm.
and they were, I would always like do the right thing and stuff like that. And it was about like helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just, is a big part of our growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it is for a lot of people as well. And
yeah.
it just blindsides you.
Yeah.
And, as of right now, there aren't a whole lot, and we're recording this at like 10:30 on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure more like sources will come out
mm-hmm.
reporting his death.
Yeah.
So
we're not like, we're not
yeah.
a news source. We're
yeah.
just giving a tribute to somebody who was integral to our young childhood.
Yeah. There were posts from like people close to him,
mm-hmm.
like taken down. My guess is, I guess the family wasn't ready for that
right.
announcement yet.
Yeah.
But it's all but confirmed by his mm-hmm. his representative.
Yeah.
And so it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And like we didn't know him, but we kind of, I feel like in a way, just kind of following him through Power Rangers. And then when he's on social media, he's very, like he's got a very big social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do kind of feel like you know him.
Yeah.
And you see there's so many videos of him with his fans, and he loved being a Power Ranger, and he
mm-hmm.
loved his fans, and his fans meant a lot to him. So yeah, it's just it's tough
yeah.
to kind of see. And he was like 47. He wasn't
49.
Yeah,
he was still
he wasn't
young.
Old.
Yeah.
yeah. So
it's unexpected.
It's very unexpected. So we just didn't really expect to pay tribute to him
yeah.
this morning. So
mm-hmm. And you kind of hope by the time we listen to this, like somehow, some way, we end up being like, oh shit, putting our foot in our mouths and blah
yeah.
blah blah, you know, because he's still alive, you know. But
it, right, yeah, the lack of reporting on it,
yeah, there's still
made me speculate.
Mm-hmm.
At least again, at this time we're recording, which we're at almost at 11 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
On a Sunday, on November 20th, but. And we're not ones to buy like internet rumors
until
we see a reputable source.
Yeah. And especially if it's like the top of the page and it's like
yeah.
TMZ reporting, I'm like, I'm not listening to that.
Yeah. But I saw like on Instagram, like Boss Logic, who's a really famous like
mm-hmm.
graphic designer, worked a lot with Marvel and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. And he posted like, I can't believe he's gone.
And
like
Walter
Zach, the Black Ranger, I think posted about it.
Okay,
too.
So I didn't see that, but if he's posting about
yeah.
it, and he actually had a close relationship with
yeah.
Jason David Frank, so it's it sucks.
Yeah,
it's rough. It's rough that a human life was lost.
Mm-hmm.
He had a family.
Yeah.
That's
the thing is when you mourn the death of a celebrity. And someone's like, oh, we didn't know him. It's like, yeah, but it's still a person.
He had a family.
Yeah, he meant a lot to people.
Yeah, and it's what he represented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of the figurehead of Power Rangers
mm-hmm.
has passed away. And, of course, all the other Rangers themselves are still alive.
Yeah.
Toy Trang, who passed away in the
yeah.
early 2000s, who was Trini. But, like... It's one of those things where, like, it's not like, oh, man, we confirm with Kevin Conroy, like, you could make
yeah.
the case for saying Batman has passed away because
right.
he was the definitive Batman.
Yeah.
But still, like, someone who's the figurehead of something,
mm-hmm.
when you, someone, like, used the flag bearer.
Yeah.
Represented Power Rangers and represented and appreciated and celebrated the fans of the show. It's just, it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough. So we'll try and ease into a transition here for Son-in-Law for the Radcast Rentals.
Make it a blockbuster night.
And now, our feature presentation.
Son-in-Law was released July 2nd, 1993, directed by Steve Rash, starring Pauly Shore as Crawl.
The Weasel.
This is, although it's spread across two podcasts, this is his third time showing up on one of our podcasts.
Right.
His first time was the awful Biodome.
I hate Biodome.
And then Casper Meets Wendy.
Uh-huh.
He's very cringy in that. And then now Son-in-Law,
yeah.
which is kind of the dwindling height of his powers and his appeal.
I would say this is the height, and then he probably had another, like, by the time 94 came around, it's like, this doesn't have to be the representation of the 90s anymore.
I think we're kind of done with Pauly Shore.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's stupid.
Yes. So Pauly Shore's Crawl, Carla Gugino is Rebecca, Lane Smith, who's making his getting his third mention in as many weeks for us, Coach Riley for the Hawks and Mighty Ducks. He passed away in 2005.
Yeah,
we
talked about in 2005.
And then here in Son-in-Law, which we kind of teased in the 2005 episode. So Lane Smith is Walter Jr., Cindy Pickett is Connie, which are Carla Gugino's character's parents.
Yeah.
Mason Adams is Walter Sr., Patrick Renna as Zach, her younger brother, Dan Gaither is Travis, Dennis Berkeley as Theo, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen as Tracy, with cameos from Flea as the Cali,
a hilarious cameo.
The Cali tattoo artist.
Yeah.
And the great Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
As his character Link from Encino Man.
Very, that's such a fun cameo. Mm-hmm. Let's just get into the movie. And I was about to say, when Crawl like sees him in his dorm room, like the reaction he has.
Yeah. So box office of $36 million on an $8 million budget. So what was on the VHS? So there was at least labeled on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 1994 release, which I'm guessing is the actual VHS release.
Right.
And then a 1995 release. So 1994 one, the soundtrack to Son-in-Law on CD and cassette, which had some nice little 90s alternative, pop songs.
Agreed.
Coming soon to video, Cool Runnings. And next, a movie about Irish boys and a white horse, Into the West.
Ah, yes. Wasn't that on another one, on what was on the VHSs, on Sucktastic Cinema?
I don't think so.
I think it was a different movie.
Yeah, it was a different one. All I'm thinking about is that Patrick Swayze movie was like, hey kids, let's party.
Beetlejuice?
No.
Hey kids, let's party.
No.
Oh.
Forgot what it's called.
Oh, shit. Father of the Year.
Is that what it was?
I think it is. Keep going.
Okay. And the 1995 release, now available to own, In the Army Now, which was the sharp decline of Pauly Shore and Andy Dick. A Simple Twist of Fate with Steve Martin. And A Lowdown Dirty Shame with Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Fatherhood. That was the
Fatherhood.
Name.
Fatherhood. Fatherhood. Because he was a hood.
Yes.
Like a 50s street rat.
Yeah.
So the movie. The movie is essentially, it's a story about a young farm girl who goes off to this uncharted, weird
California,
the uncharted territory of weirdos, Holly weird.
Yeah, she's from South Dakota.
Yeah,
and basically everyone's like, "Are you sure? You sure you don't want to like go to college here?"
Mm-hmm.
Like I heard everyone in California, it's like Lane Smith has the conversation with her in her room. She's like, "Oh, the boys in California they're different over there. Like everyone's different over there." Basically, just trying to sway her to stay in her small South Dakota town.
Yeah.
And then she goes and she meets Crawl, Pauly Shore.
Who's her RA.
Yeah, who's this eccentric figure who's been at that school for 6 years and he's like the ultimate party dude and stuff like that. It's Pauly Shore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a translator when you're around
him. Yeah, he has his own diction, his own glossary of terms and his own vernacular.
Yeah, which he introduces to her family.
Yeah, it's the classic don't judge a book by its cover type tale.
He like teaches them to loosen up and like explore themselves and stuff like that. And yeah, don't judge a book by its cover. And basically he gets to her first and was like, listen, you got to enjoy college. Cause when I got here, I was a nerd. And then, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so basically gets her to cut her hair. She gets a tattoo. And then when she comes home, family's like, what happened to you? But the thing is, like, it now, I said earlier, there's a lot of really problematic things.
Sure.
And you could preface and say, well, within in this lens of this time period, you know, 2022, I mean, it was problematic back then as well. Because their relationship, Crawl and Rebecca, Carla Gugino's character, it starts out. And as it goes along, like at least before she goes back home for Thanksgiving, it's supposed to be painted as charming. And there are charming things, but it's kind of predatory.
It is.
At the start.
Yeah. And it's one of those things to where you know, like, oh, this character's harmless because it's Pauly Shore. You know, he's just a goofball kind of thing. And so you kind of look at it through that lens. But yeah, when you step back into now, to where we're more conscious of those things. We're like, I don't like this. I don't like this. Yeah. Like, I don't like how comfortable she is with him talking about her this way and stuff like that. But it's one of those things I'm not going to retroactively try and condemn something. I just accept it as like whatever the context was. And it's Pauly Shore. No one deemed him as a threat. He again was just a goofball.
It was one of those things where he
and this character isn't predatory, but no, it's one of those things where you're like, just a real life. I don't know if that person should be comfortable with this. The way he talks around her family, like he used. I mean, granted, they're Pauly Shore sexual terms. I guess half chub isn't specific to him, but there were a few times I was like, they're all incredibly comfortable.
Yes.
Like
too comfortable.
Yeah. For being tightwad farm people, they're really comfortable the way he talks around them.
Like the flip of a switch too.
Yeah. And not like his language, but like using sexual terms or whatnot. And I guess you can be like, oh, well, they're not picking up on that. Yeah. But even when he gets the Connie to release her inhibitions and stuff, just they're all very comfortable around each other.
At least Rebecca and her more like carefree now free spirited, you know, personality change. She's like, all right, get it, mom. And I was like, ugh,
that's your mom.
Gross.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because like they fast forward when Rebecca's at college. She's obviously still like farm girl, just trying to like do her laundry and stuff like that. And then it's the night of a Halloween party. And so after Halloween, you only have 2 weeks until Thanksgiving. So they cover a lot of ground in 2 weeks.
Seems like, it also, you know, it's one of those things where, like, now it being Pauly Shore's characters being who they are, you said earlier, you know, and maybe I don't want to make excuses for certain behavior.
Of course not.
But for the most part, he is harmless.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't paint it with this brush. However, with as fast as they get to know each other, and it seems like she's just really clinging to him.
Yeah.
It seems kind of manipulative, like that maybe he's manipulating her. Because at this point in the movie, Crawl is like 23, 24 years old and is like his sixth year of college.
Yeah.
And Rebecca is 18 going on 19.
He's in a position of authority too, no matter how dimwitted. And he's not even a dimwit. He's actually really smart. But no matter how ridiculous he's portrayed, he's still in a position of authority as a resident advisor.
Yeah. Now there are situations in later parts of the movie that make you feel like, okay, you know, Rebecca's kind of at fault here and Crawl's just trying to do the right thing and blah, blah, blah. But still, like at the beginning, like we only see the parts of Crawl to where like, you know, sure, he's being really like offensive, but like it's the head bud.
Yeah, it's
like stuff like,
it's, you know, like we said, it is Pauly Shore at the height of his, I use this term loosely, the height of his powers.
Right.
I mean, he did Encino Man the prior year and did this. Those Encino Man and this movie are his two best movies.
Yeah.
And again, I love this movie.
Yeah.
But Pauly Shore was like a full on fixture at that point, and he was a. He was fully that cartoon character. And so literally anytime
you'd watch, especially back then, you watch it and you're not even thinking about that. You're just like, oh, it's Pauly Shore.
Yeah, it's Pauly Shore. You know, we're seeing him doing his Pauly Shore thing, his Pauly Shore-isms. But then there's also that kind of infusion of charm to where, like, you know, he's endearing and kind of his, you know, ineptitudes or with, you know, his phrases like that. So you don't see it as, like, him kind of being predatory.
No.
And I keep saying predatory.
We're using...
I don't want to trivialize that term.
No, we're using the current context to try and apply it to a movie from 1993. Mm-hmm. In this movie, Krall is a sweetheart.
He's charming.
He's well-intentioned. Mm-hmm. It's just the things that he does. Yeah. In today's context, you're like, ugh.
Yeah. But then it's like later on, like... As their relationship progresses, you see what it really is and what it turns out to be. It's just this story of this guy showing this girl how to
step outside your comfort zone.
Try new things. Keep an open mind. Maybe, you know, you try new things and you become, you know, college, as he says, and I don't agree with this at all, but he said college is, you know, the best years of your life.
Yeah.
Don't you want to, like, indulge in all that?
Right.
Don't you want to, like, see who you can become and who you can grow into? So it is, it's a story of, like, growth.
Yeah.
She is a willing participating party. You can tell she genuinely likes Krall's
and doing new
presence.
Things.
And
she suggested getting a tattoo.
She suggested it. Well, that's a funny part where, like, they're in there with Flea.
Yeah.
And I don't remember it verbatim, but, like, she's asking Flea if it hurts.
I have the quote.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's a funny, like, little.
Yeah.
Flea's, it's very small, but Flea's very funny.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the Halloween party and how Brendan Fraser's character of Link. I haven't seen this movie in a couple years, so I popped huge when I saw that. I was like,
right.
Oh! Yeah, there he is! Because we love Brendan
we
Fraser
love
Brent, on the show.
And I love Encino
and
Man.
And he was even before this Brendan Fraser renaissance, because he was just named GQ's 2022 Man of the Year, which, well-deserved.
Hell yeah.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, so she asks Flea's, like, does it hurt? He's like, it's better than getting kicked in the face with a golf shoe.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm thinking of something feminine. And you can tell Flea and Pauly Shore probably had fought on the set. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm thinking of something feminine. And he's like, he's standing right next to me, referring to Krall. And he's like, yada, yada, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That was just a funny cameo.
Yeah, but also a funny part was, like, he's being, like, really intimidating.
Yeah.
And then Pauly Shore's like, he's got the ink's running to his brain and his cousin would go, like, crazy. And he's like, it's a good point.
He's like, it's a good point.
But I thought that was funny. But anyway, like, credit to as well, like, until the later events that start causing conflict and start being problematic, you can tell it's just like a friendship. Like,
yeah,
it's a kind of a really touchy friendship, but like, there's no hint. Like, you don't see Krall trying any romantic advances.
No.
You don't see Rebecca trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
Like, it, you can tell it's
not
a
yet.
Not well yet. But
in this,
I was saying, in these moments before they go back,
you're right. Yeah.
To
South Dakota
for Thanksgiving. It's just a friendship, and they're both fine with it being a friendship.
Yeah, exactly. In the Link scene, kind of back to that.
Yeah.
I was gonna bring it up before we got into the movie, but it's a fun. If you're paying it, it's a funny visual gag. He takes a rubber frog from Krall's costume and lights it on fire and eats it because he did that in Encino Man.
Yep.
And after he leaves, Pauly Shore kind of looks. You see him kind of looking and thinking, and he's like, nah.
Yeah.
It's just a fun to Encino Man kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not the same cinematic universe, but it's fun.
Yeah, but you can tell, like, Rebecca is happy. Because also with that, she's becoming more confident.
Confident, yeah.
And more comfortable in her own skin. So you see her, like, you know, talking with people in her dorm. Because it's like intergender, like, dorm, which that concept.
Co-ed.
Yeah. Co-ed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's co-ed, which that concept, like, blows my mind.
Right.
But, like, she's comfortable with everybody. She's saying hi to everybody. She's a fixture in the dorm room and everything. Yeah. So like it's
California.
Yeah. Like I like seeing that because she's embraced it and she's comfortable. And then they end up back in South Dakota because she's going back anyway.
Yeah.
And Crawl's getting ready to like make a TV dinner because his mom's in Vegas and blah, blah, blah. And he's not going to go home.
Yeah.
So like, she's like, well, why don't you come with me? And this is where the hijinks and the conflict of the movie is going
to
start.
They come back to South Dakota and she's got her family there who are living their life. Her boyfriend, Travis, who is working like a full-time
like a
job
feed store or whatever.
Basically they made this plan like any small town couple. It's like, you'll go off. We're going to get married. Like we're going to do all that stuff. And basically they're just floored.
Yeah.
They're like, what happened? Like told you she shouldn't have gone off to college.
Yeah, exactly.
Told you kind of thing. And basically you're introduced to Crawl and he loves like that farm living. And
yeah.
He's at the bed of the truck seeing Green Acres. Uh-huh. It's just, I like this character because he's game for anything.
Yeah.
Because he's teaching her to have an open mind. Mm-hmm. So in turn, he has an open mind about everything.
Yeah. And he takes people's criticism in stride.
Yeah.
He doesn't let it get to him. He's like, okay. And
yeah.
Like, you know, it's,
lay off the steroids, bruh.
Something like that. You know, he takes it in stride, you know, and it includes, you know, people's attitudes. You know, he wants to do like, eventually he'll want to do like farm work.
Right.
You know, he'll want to, you know, prove himself to be a farmer.
Right.
And you know, he's just unapologetically himself. And I think that was what was so charming about Pauly Shore. And I don't even want to go air quotes charming because you know what, this is our perspective and he was charming.
He was very charming. Mm-hmm. At the end of the movie, I'm like, I always forget how charming of a movie that is. You like Crawl. Like, well, he's annoying.
He has no off switch. That's the thing.
But I will say, because you texted me that, because I watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
You watched
it. I watched it the day before.
The day before. Mm-hmm. And you're like, if I had to describe Pauly Shore, it'd be no off switch in this movie. And I went in and I was like, yes, but also this is still way reined in compared to Biodome.
Oh, of course.
Because he has those foils in this movie to where he is the standout, goofy, eccentric character, and everyone else learns from him or they can respond to that and they can sort of calm him down.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Biodome, there were two Pauly Shores with Stephen Baldwin and Pauly Shore.
And even though like Rebecca starts kind of taking on a Crawl-esque personality with some of the things she says and she kind of talks like him a little bit, she still has her own personality and her own character arc. And it's not, like we had said here and in the Biodome episode, it's not two Pauly Shores.
Right.
Well, Pauly Shore, at least in Biodome, and we talked about it in our episode with our good friend Dan Drake, where we pretty much rewrote the movie too.
Right.
But
which way better.
Yeah. It's at least in that Pauly Shore, you know what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get Stephen Baldwin doing a Pauly Shore impression, which is obnoxious.
And by that point, the novelty had worn off.
Oh, of course. It definitely had worn off.
But at this time, like, they were still totally Pauly. Like, it was still the early 90s. Mm-hmm. He came about, like, after the 80s. And I've probably made this point on the show before, is that each decade starts kind of accepting the identity of the previous decade.
Yeah.
Just trying to get your footing and, like, what are we going, what's our decade going to look like kind of thing? And then Pauly Shore comes around, and the 90s, especially in the early 90s, it was just kind of like, let's see what happens. Like, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's try this color combination. Like, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's how I kind of described the 90s, at least the early 90s, was let's try it, see what happens. Yeah. And Pauly Shore came along and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, he curated this, and it's a more exaggerated version of Paul. I feel like Pauly Shore initially wasn't that exaggerated. Mm-hmm. But he sort of adopted that persona and he became like the wild man with his own vernacular and all that stuff. MTV VJ and it just a very vibrant personality.
Yeah. I think too, Son-in-Law is the most glaring contrast between Pauly and the straight characters. Because at least in Encino Man, you had Sean Astin's dad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he accepted
Stoney. Yeah.
And he shook his head at him. But at least for a lot of the movie, Pauly Shore is surrounded by, yes, foils, but people who accept him for who he is.
Yeah.
So you have
other 90s high school kids.
Yeah, exactly.
High school, quote-unquote high school
kids. And this, yeah. You're taking the biggest contrast, which yeah. are straight-laced conservative farm country folk.
Yeah.
And they are now faced with this oddball, obnoxious,
yeah.
strange guy
yeah.
who, again, totally open-minded and accepts them.
Totally Pauly.
Totally Pauly. And he doesn't have a kind of a harsh bone in his body against these people.
Right.
But it's just, it's funny that, and I like how, like, in this last kind of, you know, Pauly Shore led, you know, kind of the Pauly Shore, you know, renaissance
yeah.
or whatever of the early 90s, kind of this last bit to where we had until we've had enough of Pauly Shore. I like how it's like the biggest juxtaposition
yeah.
between Pauly Shore and the people he's with.
Right. And I will say, because what happens is if you haven't seen the movie, and if you've seen it, haven't seen it in a while, basically he's there just as her friend.
Yeah.
But, you know, Travis, her boyfriend, is like, hey, like, will you marry me? He wants to propose to her.
Mm-hmm.
And basically she's like, since she's not in her conservative farm life, like mm-hmm. she's seen the world.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know if she wants to be tied down
mm-hmm.
yet kind
yeah.
of thing. And basically he, you know, crawls like, well, you know, you need to talk to him and tell him that you're not ready, or, you know, you need to, that's not something you're ready for kind of thing. And there's this banquet at the country club and Travis gets up to propose. And basically she's like, you know, crawl, do help me. He's like, what do I do? And she like kicks him. And he's like, I beat you to it, buddy, because mm-hmm. I already proposed to Becca.
And she said yes.
And she said yes. So basically now we've got this, the whole story is, now they think that he's going to be their son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically through that lens,
yeah.
he's going to marry into the family.
Yeah.
And there's this resistance, obviously, mm-hmm. first from the little brother played by Patrick Renna, mm-hmm. who he himself is kind of a little pervert.
Yeah. And I'll let you finish, of course, what
yeah,
you're
yeah.
going to say. And I got something to say about,
yeah, of course,
not just him, but a lot of characters from the
yeah.
80s and not little brother characters from the 80s and
yeah.
90s.
But there are these just, it's fun to watch him assimilate into this family.
Mm-hmm.
And initially they had this resistance, but he starts to grow on them and they
mm-hmm.
start to adopt, you know, in different ways.
Yeah.
At the very least, the way they talk.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking Lane Smith is walking around the last half of the movie, basically another Pauly Shore.
No.
But there, he does have this influence where, like, Grandpa and like Walter Sr., Walter Jr., Dad and Grandpa.
Uh-huh.
I have their quotes in here. They
right.
they use Pauly Shore terms towards the end
right.
of the movie. But basically he's growing on them
mm-hmm.
and he's teaching them to let their hair down,
mm-hmm.
relax, and they're really starting to like him. And then, you know, through, you know, a bunch of series of events, there's this misunderstanding with
yeah.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
But
we'll get
yeah.
into her character, because
mm-hmm.
her character is basically useless in this
yeah.
movie. There's no real character. It's just they kind of we'll get into it. But basically, that's essentially the main plot of the
yeah.
movie, is this confusion and this
yeah.
comedy of errors kind
and,
of thing.
And if you've never seen it, don't cry for Travis. Like
yeah.
he's a jerk.
Yeah.
Like even before we see just the height of him being
oh, yeah.
a dick, like he there's these little spots to
yeah.
where you see he's an asshole.
Yeah. He's a jock, douchebag.
He's a manipulator.
Who's like, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Warner, like boy next, like typical
yeah.
all American boy, like
you
to her parents.
You start to see he's been cheating on Rebecca.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Stuff like that. So like when we say, you know, he proposes and she's not sure what to do, and
yeah.
like then Crawl stands up and you know it kind of gives off the impression that Crawl becomes the bad guy, but like Travis is a dick.
He didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, because yeah. Crawl. That's kind of an underlying thing. He goes along with it, and
yeah.
through that, you know, he starts developing kind of feelings
yeah.
for Rebecca and vice versa.
Yeah.
But, like, Crawl also is the one who tries to reason with Rebecca, and he's like, you need to nip things in the bud.
Yeah.
Like, you need to tell your parents the truth. I'm starting to grow close to your family.
Yeah.
And I don't want to look them in the face and keep lying to them.
Yeah.
So this is on you.
Exactly.
You have to, like, you need to, you know, I understand it's scary. You don't want to like hurt people, and but like you're making things worse by not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But
and he articulates that like he didn't like use his slang and stuff. Yeah. He articulates that in a way you're like, no, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, it, you weren't distracted by his language.
Yeah. And it's actually like Rebecca's decision not to tell the truth from the jump that starts this cascading, you know, effect on everybody else.
Right.
And I would even say this little lie they're going about unearthed this suppressed dissension and issue and tension within the family with them being so rigid.
Yeah.
And it really, it showcases Carl helping everybody.
Yeah.
So who knows if that would have happened if you were just their Thanksgiving guest.
Exactly. You see there's conflict. The grandpa, Walter Sr., thinks that it's like the kids are out of control. And then Lane Smith is like, that's my family. They're my kids. Mm-hmm. And he's basically like, the problems he has with his dad are the same ones that the little brother has with Walter Jr., with the dad. And that, like, you never listen to me. Nobody listens to me. It's like, well, I want to do things my way. And the, there's just lack of understanding between all parties involved. Yeah. They just think that each person's being stubborn.
Yeah.
When Crawl kind of gives them perspective and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And speaking of the little brother.
Yeah. So I have this, there's this weird thing. And it's not just us, but because we have two older sisters and Samantha, who's been on the show several times, we have a close relationship with. It's, so it's not just us, but I feel like it's most people with older sisters that like they wouldn't have this attitude. But there's this thing in 80s and 90s movies to where the younger brothers are supposed to be these like scamps and these mischievous pains in the butt
when
to their sisters.
Perverts.
And like they are little perverts, but like
they are little perverts.
They're written in a way to where they have this like fascination or like curiosity, even if it's just to say things to gross out their sisters about like intimate details of their sisters' lives. Or it's like, and I was going through your underwear drawer.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so weird.
You know, as a joke,
it's like, what? That's like, there's some sort of psychosexual thing there that like, you could chalk it up to it, curious little boy or pubescent little boys, blah, blah, blah. And you know it's harmless. It's like no.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah. He's teaching Crawl how to milk a cow, and you know Crawl's obviously relating it back to touching boobies.
Yeah.
Touching the girl's cones.
Yeah. Exactly. And the little brother, what was his name?
Zach.
Again? Zach is like
Ham Porter.
Him, who he was doing the Sandlot at the same, this and the Sandlot came out the same year.
I hope to have Patrick Rinn on the show.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But he's basically, he says something to the effect of, are my sister's cones like this?
You ever touch my sister's cones?
Yeah, and he puts his foot down. He's like, hey, man, don't talk about your sister that way. Mm-hmm. And Zach clearly has this remorseful look on his face, like, ah, dang, you're right, kind of thing. To where you're sitting there like, why would you even be curious about that?
That is,
that's none of my business.
Yeah.
And B, that's my sister.
Yeah.
Nowhere in my brain does that even cross my mind. Yeah.
And even if in some strange way, for whatever reason, even in the slightest case that it were any of my business at all, I don't want to know.
Yeah. What are you going to do with that information?
Yeah.
Like, what if he had indulged you?
That's,
like, what are you going to do with that information? And plus, like, they have a relationship, him and Rebecca have this relationship as such to where, like, when she's trying to she's trying to talk to Crawl in private, and Crawl's sharing a room with Zach, which was met with hesitancy, but then Crawl helps him with his computer, to which I have the quote that Crawl has as to how he hacked his computer.
It's total gibberish.
Yeah, it's total gibberish. But it's totally Pauly.
Of course.
And she's trying to get him to leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no way, it's my room. He's like, well, how about I tell mom where you keep all your Playboys? Like, and I was like, why do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And he has a subscription to Playboy, which he reveals. And I'm like, how do your parents not know that?
Yeah.
And why are you as a sister? Like, I don't know. Again, it's supposed to be like annoying brother and sister. But again, another kind of look into the kind of the uncomfortable way that they all kind of talk to each other and like the relation, the closeness that they have sort of thing. Just an observation.
Yeah,
I'm not throwing accusations one way. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I would never talk to my family. It's weird. This way.
Yeah. But it's essentially like Lane Smith after the big announcement is like, all right, like enough of the bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, so like my daughter's making this decision. How are you going to support my daughter?
Yeah. Well, what do you do?
Yeah.
He's like, I run this farm.
And he's like, well, I could do that. You know, when you retire, I could take over the farm. And like, of course, Lane Smith scoffs at
it. So does, and Theo is the farmhand.
It's that, Christmas, Theo. Yeah. It's time for miracles.
In Suburban Commando, he's like, what are you crazy? What are you nuts? This is the 90s.
Let's sue you.
This guy has been in so many things.
Oh, yeah. Character actor. Yeah. Especially in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. But it just lends to what more of like the slapstick, you know, fish out of water type stuff. To where Theo, who he's a shit bag, but like he's played like kind of smarmy. So you're like, I don't like Theo, but also he's being played really well.
They think they're leading a lamb to the slaughter, and they think that he's going to get eaten alive, not just by pigs and stuff, but like metaphorically eaten alive. And he like quickly adapts
and
proves to be very adept at farming, at least from what we see.
He adds that Paulie like crawl flavor to everything. You know, he's a rollerblader, so when he's gonna be feeding the pigs all the troughs, like he puts like the feed on his back and he like goes down like this kind of declining ramp to where he's like, you know, the feed is, he's rollerblading the feeds, going on all the troughs,
you know, stuff like that.
So like he's being, much to the chagrin of Theo, who's setting him up for failure, which some of the scenes I'm like, your hijinks are causing Crawl to damage your employer's property.
Exactly.
So you're going to be asked to fix that.
Yeah. When Crawl gets in the, you know, $250,000 combine.
Yeah.
And they just, he doesn't know how to drive.
Yeah.
Basically, like, Walter and Theo are running after him, like, ah, dang it, we need to get him out of there. Like, and there's nothing, after that, there's nothing about, like, you could have destroyed that combine. You could have, and this is, I'm like, this is surprisingly slapstick for something that is very dangerous.
Yeah. And like, Walter, like, kind of just looks back at Theo, like, kind of just, like, shaking his head, like, not like a that's Crawl, but it's, like, it's one of those things, like, Jesus, this kid, goddamn. Yeah. But then I'm just, like, didn't he just, like, ruin all your crops?
Yeah.
Like, why are you just kind of being flippant about this?
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't, and I feel like I'm going to listen back and I'm going to hear a lot of critique. And I, again, want to reiterate that I really like this movie. I think it's fun. It's cute. It's charming.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from all, I mean, yeah, it's not infallible, but at the end of the day, it's a fun watch. It's a quick watch.
Mm-hmm.
I have no issue with Paulie Shore. I like Paulie Shore. I do too. I think he's a well-intentioned, fun, nice, sweet character in this movie.
And it kind of alleviates some stress or tension as much as you have watching something like this.
Yeah.
To where, like,
and this movie always moves quicker than I remember.
Oh, yeah. But it alleviates, like, the stress and tension of you, like, the characters not liking the person you like, because, you know, Paulie, person by person, he starts kind of endearing himself to everybody in his own genuine way.
Yeah.
Because I think I said earlier, he's just unapologetically himself.
Yeah.
And that's endearing to people. And especially if you take it in a way to where you're not threatening.
Yeah.
At least it's, again, it's Paulie Shore. Like, it's not, he's not threatening.
Go ahead.
But they all kind of, you know, they're more apt to get along with him, and they get along, and they kind of, you know, they grow accustomed to him, start kind of adopting some of it. If not his mindsets, some of his behaviors, as we see a little later. But, like, you see this tension being alleviated with the family themselves, and then kind of finally the last person was Grandpa to get on Paulie's side. And, you know, there's a funny way to where we see how, you know, how it's revealed how Grandpa is like Paulie Shore and blah, blah, blah.
Grandpa is usually like whittling wood on the porch, and you get a few instances, enough to where it's a kind of a funny running gag to where Paulie's like, "Mind if I whittle wood with you?" And like, he doesn't let him and stuff. Uh-huh. And then finally, when he concedes, like, there's
they like enter the house and Polly kind of looks over at him and Grandpa's just kind of like, ah, shit.
Uh-huh.
He's like, can I please whittle with you? And he's mm-hmm. like, fine. And so they're sitting there. And when you think up to that point, Grandpa's gripe was that nobody cares what he has to say. Nobody pays mm-hmm. attention to him. Notes. And Polly's the one like wanting to spend time with him mm-hmm. kind of thing. And yeah. so he endears himself to Grandpa that mm-hmm. way. I like the relationship that Grandpa and Rebecca have.
Yeah.
Calls her shortcake and yeah. stuff like that. And like their little gesture to each other's, they like kiss their thumb
yeah.
and like
yeah.
put it on.
It's sweet.
Yeah. It's very sweet. Mm-hmm. And I do like that this movie doesn't spend a lot of time on people hating Pauly Shore and more time on showing us how people are changing for the better.
Yeah.
Because of Pauly Shore mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad that there isn't too much time like yeah. on a character you like mm-hmm. of him not being liked. They use the time, I guess, for lack of a better term, wisely, given yeah. the kind of movie this mm-hmm. is
yeah.
and the kind of the story you're trying to tell with the characters that you have.
Yeah. Let's talk real quick about the character of Tracy. Like,
yeah, Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
She's
yeah.
kind of in her appearances. She's the one that like Travis is cheating on Rebecca yeah. with, and that's kind of hinted at a couple times. And she's seen as kind of like the town hussy.
Yeah.
And you kind of start having sympathy for her because like
she's being used and manipulated by Travis.
She's being used yeah. and manipulated by Travis to ultimately put Crawl in a bad position.
Yeah.
Because Travis, to kind of mend fences, mm-hmm. Throws Crawl a bachelor party.
Yeah.
And you see, Travis is faking, liking Crawl
yeah.
and like, and
Theo slips something in Crawl's drink.
Yeah, Theo's in on it, slips something in Crawl's drink, and then like Tracy shows up to be like the entertainment of the bachelor
yeah.
party. And then the next day it shows that they're both in the barn together.
Right.
But then it's revealed, and I'll just cut quickly, it's revealed
yeah.
Theo drugged them both.
Yeah.
And then
basically to frame or blackmail
yeah. Yeah.
Crawl, basically to make it look like Crawl was unfaithful and Rebecca would dump him and go back to Travis.
Yeah. But the part that's really, really troubling and really definitely, I mean, if you hadn't guessed that Travis was an asshole at this
yeah.
time, this part really is troubling and really shows that he's an asshole. It's like Tracy doesn't know what happened. Like,
yeah. 'cause
like after Crawl runs off and tries to talk with Rebecca,
yeah, he gaslights her.
Yeah. He gaslights the hell out
yeah.
of her. And like, and
she two are all over.
And she
each
starts
other.
To kind of believe it. And
yeah.
then like, we see Tracy, like, because when Tracy gets back in her car, she has to pull her seat up forward.
Right.
But then when she's driving down the road
yeah.
away, she sees the pill bottle and she
yeah.
turns around and picks up Crawl, who's trying to hitchhike because he's been kicked out.
Yeah.
And then they both confront Travis and Theo.
Yeah. In a way, because, like, the whole time I remember this character, but whenever she shows up, I'm like, oh, yeah, Tracy. But she doesn't really serve any purpose
mm-hmm.
besides being that town, she's this perception as like a floozy or whatever,
yeah.
like, but she's not in the movie enough for there to be really any development,
right?
Like, you see her at graduation and then she's obviously the person that Travis is cheating on Rebecca
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
and she's just kind of there.
Yeah,
she's kind of she's used by the movie
mm-hmm.
to get to certain conflicts
right.
and stuff, and so you really don't need her there.
Yeah.
And it's Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I like Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
She was
I wasn't
still,
a fan of Saved by the Bell,
yeah.
but I do like her.
But it was huge
yeah,
at that time.
Exactly. And it's you could also look at Tracy. I almost said Tiffany because her name's
right,
Tiffany.
Yeah.
Tracy, you can tell like when Rebecca and Crawl, they go to a store to try because Crawl wants to get like farm clothes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy is at this store. And Rebecca's like, oh, yeah, I thought you were going to New York or whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, just trying to save up money. She is someone who has hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
And she probably has this envy of this new and improved Rebecca. Because
yeah.
Rebecca is out and going to see mm-hmm. the world. And because, of Crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of gather that Tracy might have this this envy towards her. Like, she's living the life that she wants to live, kind of thing. Again, they never say any of that. Mm-hmm. I'm just gathering that just by reading body language, which you can't always trust. But she's really, I know she's there, but it's one of those things where it's like she doesn't really need to be there.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end,
she's fine. She's a fine character.
She's still in her little moment of like, when you see that she's been really, really used, you can tell she doesn't take pride in that. She's very sympathetic.
Right.
Like, at the end of the movie.
And it's not a quick change to where, like, I don't feel anything.
Yeah, you feel bad because, like, this probably isn't the first time Travis has used her. And Travis only sees her for one thing, because you see Travis is all, like, pent up.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's the typical, you know, my uptight girlfriend won't put out and blah blah blah. So he's
not even so much uptight as like he's just horny and she's like wants to wait for the right time. Yeah,
from his perspective, uptight.
Okay, yeah.
But a woman who, you know, isn't she's not ready. She's not gonna like just do it because you want her to.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, you know, you can see that like Tracy's been used by Travis and maybe not just by Travis, and she realizes she's seen one way. So there's insecurities that come from that. And so and then at the end you see she's accepted by the family and she's asked to join them for dinner. And
for turkey dinner.
Yeah.
for turkey dinner.
For barbecue dinner.
They invited me over.
For barbecue dinner.
Getting hungry for your turkey dinner?
From Dutch.
Yep.
But essentially, it's a nice movie.
I like it.
I really like Son-in-Law. And the movie, of course, you know, Travis and Theo get kicked out. You know, Crawl gets the sucker punch. He saw it coming. But Crawl gets the, like, knock out Travis and throw him out on his ass.
That is another running joke, like, throughout the movie. Since he's been at college for so long, there's this gag to where every time Crawl does something like on the farm or whatever, he's like, I majored in da 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 for one semester. So if it's like, I don't know, pig, if he's working on a farm, it's like, I majored in corn agriculture for a semester or something like that. But whatever, how it ever relates to the thing he's being asked to do or the thing he does, he's like, I majored in this thing for two semesters or first semester. And so that's kind of the running gag. And then when he knocks out Travis, he's like, majored in karate for two semesters or something like that. I did get down some of the more ridiculous quotes.
Ah, yes, because Grandpa tells off Travis in a Pauly Shore way.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Travis is basically, he's there confronting Pauly Shore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The conflict is broken up by Grandpa, who says, Travis, he's like, it really, and just imagine like a 75-year-old man saying this, Travis, it really tweaks my melon to see a buff bro like Crawl here get wheezed on by a greasy scumbag like you. So you just chill.
Oh, yeah.
And just the delivery makes it, not so much, it just makes it like, that's silly kind of thing. And then before they get into the turkey,
of course, we've mentioned this before.
Walter Jr., Lane Smith says, let's chow down and munch on some grindage.
Yep.
Which it's one at that point, it just makes me smile. Yeah. I'm like, that's so fun.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's silly and it's ridiculous, but it's so fun.
Yeah. Oh, how the engagement thing, like, resolves is like, eventually, you know, because Rebecca's thing is like, well, we'll
wait it out.
We'll fake it. We'll wait it out the whole week. And then, like, when we go back to school, I'll just tell them we broke up. And, like, Carl's like, you know, that's not, like, that's not telling the truth.
You're still leading them on.
Yeah. But eventually, they kind of still lie. But, like, at the end, Rebecca's about to tell everybody that it's been a ruse.
Yeah.
I just want to tell everybody that we, and Carl's like, we haven't decided on a wedding date yet, so we're going to take a lot of time.
So we're going to take our time. And they're like, well, that's a great idea, kind of thing.
So I was like,
whatever. Lying. But I would be interested to see how that transpired after that. I wanted those kids to make it.
Yeah.
Some Pauly Shore gibberish before we end this. When he's... Because initially, when he shares a room with Zach is like, ugh. It's like, no, he's a weirdo or whatever. Mm-hmm. and Zach's working on his computer, and there's this error coming up, and Crawl's like, just, will you let me? Because Zach's rules, like, don't touch any of my stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, just let me see if I can work on it. And he basically, he's like, how did you do that? Because he, like, the error goes, it's so vague. Yeah. Such a limited understanding of computers. Mm-hmm. And he's like, your PC got harshed, right? Because your system heaps at the wrong parameter. So I toasted the data directory, tweaked the PRAM, and reglazed your subroutine. None of that means anything.
No. Yeah.
He's like, no. He's like, you out-hacked me or something like that. Yeah. And so basically through that, they get closer. And and that's a nice relationship between Zach and Crawl. Because Zach's kind of a creep.
Yeah.
Or he's 13, right. But still he's kind of he's portrayed as kind of this pervy little kid.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah, exactly. He has a shirt when they when they take Rebecca to school, it says "Seduce me, please."
Yes.
And all right, that's hilarious.
I can relate.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's a great shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Styles and Teen Wolf. Yeah, what are you looking at, Dick Nose?
Exactly. Kind of
thing. But yeah, that's some Pauly Shore gibberish to round out the episode.
And what a way for the era of Pauly Shore to go out, because again, it went way past its expiration date with movies like In the Army Now, Jury Duty, Biodome.
Jury Duty's the first time I ever watched a movie and like consciously sat there and said, I wasted my time watching that.
But like, this is right before Pauly Shore reached his shelf life.
Yep.
And, you know, it's fun.
I love it.
I was here for it.
Yeah.
I like Son-in-Law.
I do too.
Again, it's not going to be for everybody.
No.
You know, I still stand by, even though I find it endearing, I still stand by Pauly Shore's no off switch in this movie, which can be grating and obnoxious.
Right.
It's way more tolerable because when you said that, I immediately thought of Biodome. Compared to Biodome, he's way more tolerable in this movie.
Yeah. But it's a fun movie.
It is. It's really
and,
fun. You know, it's one of three or four Thanksgiving movies.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot. There's Charlie Brown, Thanksgiving, Dutch,
Planes,
Trains, and Automobiles. There's probably other ones like
they're
in the romantic comedy realm that I'm just not familiar with or didn't know they were Thanksgiving movies. Thanksgiving adjacent at the very least, kind of thing.
But you know, this is one of the more prominent ones.
Yeah.
But Son-in-Law, I liked it a lot.
Yep, same.
Yep. Hopefully, again, for those of you that observe, you have a happy Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this after Thanksgiving,
hope it was great.
Hope it was good.
Yeah.
Hope it was great. Hope you cleaned your plate.
Yeah.
But either way, thank you for listening, everybody.
We've got something that we're still on track to do. We're going out of town with our family for Thanksgiving. We're going to be at a cabin, and we may have a very family-oriented episode dropping as a result of that. So,
yep.
Look out for that.
Yeah, look out.
It'll be a ramble. We don't know what's going to happen. We're just going to turn on the mics and let that family dynamic flow, baby.
Yeah, exactly. But until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you can be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.